podcast contains harsh language and the occasional "that's what she said" joke. Your discretion is advised.
Everybody, welcome to VU Universe, the VU community podcast. I'm a guy named Raph, a fairly prolific VU user who talks about whatever is on my mind, along with other VU users from VU.com, thus the community crap. Anyway, this week I actually have some royalty with me. Also, Prince's stuff from many different cultures and shit. Prince!
First of all, you can find me at VU.com/theprince. Second of all, my only royalty is Amritsari royalty from India. Thirdly, freaking American, Spanish, Irish, Cuban, Indian. Get it right, Raph. God damn it.
I don't... you expect me to remember that?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Okay, and the guy laughing at both of us is Eric.
Hi, I'm E.T. Epic on VU.
Indeed. I hope you gentlemen are doing well. Either way, I don't...
Oh,
really
absolutely
care.
Horrible.
I don't give a shit. Ever. Shut up. Anyway, shout out to the VUser's YouTube channel. You, Jamie, and the rest of you always shout out to me. Go to the VUser YouTube channel and that shit. And to any BSN, the Bioware social site. Any of you guys out there, welcome if you are listening to this.
Never mind, Raph. It's the Bioware social network. And yeah, for those of you BSNers who might be listening to this right now, I'm LP Prince
yeah.
on the site, so I'm one of the power users you've probably seen around all the time.
Yes, indeed. Thanks for dropping by. And, yeah, Mass Effect 3. Let's just jump right into it. That's what Shepard said. What do you guys
think?
What? What?
I'm pretty sure he never name-dropped the game in the series.
Well, let's jump right into it. Maybe he has said
well,
that.
Well, he has named.
He said that about Miranda. Bam! There. What?
I don't know. That's a whole bunch of
bouncing about.
Yeah, like Shepard's gonna be like, "Hey, Miranda, why is your ass so big?" And she's gonna respond with Mass Effect technology. That's it.
Huh.
It makes my mass erect. Oh.
Oh, that was horrible.
Yeah, it's been used a billion times. I know.
Shepard has name dropped, though. I mean. He's been going on about all his favorite stores on the Citadel, so.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
I heard Shepard's voice when you said that. I'm not even going to lie.
Why, the impression or Shepard himself?
No, I swear, like, I heard you say that, and in my head, all I heard was Mark Meer fucking saying those lines, and I was like, holy shit, Raph is Shepard. This is...
I actually named my Commander Shepard Raph. Raph Shepard, here to save the day.
Just kept it simple.
Mine's
with,
named after me, so.
I just kept it simple with John. You, Vraj Shepard, just doesn't sound very incredible.
What about Prince Shepard?
No. Actually, that's not that bad.
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, I wish I thought of that back then.
You could sit. Anyway, since Mass Effect 3 is coming out in what, a week and a half from Friday? What?
The day after my birthday.
Exactly. Which is basically.
Happy birthday, Eric.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, Eric. Happy birthday.
Happy
because,
preemptive birthday.
Indeed. A week and a half in advance. Anyway,
yeah.
When you guys are listening to this, Mass Effect 3 is coming out. I was too excited to wait till it came out to really have a podcast about it. So here we are, sitting and waiting for Commander Shepard to kick Varen and chew bubblegum. And he's out of bubblegum.
That was the best you could come up with, was kick Varen.
What? I just thought of that side quest where you save that little Quarian who's bleeding out, and then Shepard karate kicks a Varen.
Shepard doesn't like kicking Varen. What about Urs on Tuchanka?
When I played Commander Shepard and put him into the, what is it, the fighting pit? Urs died on me, so I was like, whatever.
Urs doesn't actually die. Actually ends up in, like, a hospital bed in Tuchanka, and when you come back, he's still there.
I know. You know what I meant, though.
No, I really didn't. You were wrong, and I was correct. I win, you lose. I'm taking this podcast from you now.
No, you're not. You may be fucking royalty, but I'm still Raph, okay? I am a guy.
You're a podcasting elite.
The podcasting elite, just like the N7 guys. who you could play as in multiplayer.
You're P7.
P7? It would be V user 7.
Jesus Christ.
What? You love us.
Yeah, but I love me more.
No, you don't. Fucking liar.
Anyway, if I could delve into the Mass Effect 3 discussion, what classes are you guys planning on going into? I think you both know exactly what I plan on using, because I've used it ever since 2007.
I know exactly what you're going to be using. You're going to be using Engineer.
Yes, that is exactly...
the most passive class out there.
That's exactly what I'm doing.
I was playing the demo over the past 2 hours. I was an Engineer.
I'm going to biotically charge and Nova people with an Engineer and use a shotgun, and that's going to make perfect sense. There's no way I'm going to break the game by doing that, you know, fucking Engineer biotics and
that's,
shit.
That's exactly, actually, in Mass Effect 3, that's how I play my Engineer. I use a shotgun and I rush people.
Like a fucking Vanguard should be doing?
Yeah, I just put a combat drone right behind them, rush them, and shotgun them. That's what I do in the demo. In the multiplayer right now.
Do you survive? Like,
I usually get about 40,000 points per round doing that.
Because my multiplayer strategy so far with my friends is basically we've been playing an all Vanguard team of 4 people.
Oh, great. And douchebag Vanguards. Anyway.
Literally, like, every single game, there's at least one person saying, all I'm fucking getting are assists. It's ridiculous. We're at all, like, it's basically first charge, first points. We're just charging into shit, fucking it up, and yeah. It's crazy awesome.
Yeah.
You're highly aggressive, so you're just kind of... Vanguard's
the most aggressive class out of all of them.
I can agree with that. Yeah, you have to be close quarters. I mean, you got the shotguns and the pistols, and they're not necessarily long range. So.
Yeah,
you can get away with it though.
That's where all your damage comes from if you're playing Vanguard. Engineer, right. you're a bit more versatile. You can throw down a turret, have a little combat drone flying at the same time.
Yeah,
yeah, and like. Disintegrate their armor and take away their shields while they deal with all that shit. Yeah. Like, once I learned that turrets can shoot rockets, I was like, what the fuck? That's amazing! While at the same time having an Engineer snipe in the back, or if you're me, bum-rushing everything.
Speaking about turrets, as a Vanguard, let me just say, fuck turrets, because in multiplayer, they are the bane of a Vanguard.
No, they're not. All I do is...
Yes, they are.
I take out turrets in less than
a
second. All I have...
Yes.
In multiplayer, all I do, charge, Nova, shotgun, and then the turret's gone.
Ass with Vanguards, dude. I'll charge a turret, and I'm fucking, like, dead. God damn it.
All I do is charge, Nova, shotgun, melee, turret's gone.
This is what happens when I see a turret nowadays. I'm like, turret, run in the other direction. Before, what happened was charge, and I'm down. Rez? Anyone? Rez?
Yeah, well, actually, there's a, I just saw it today on Tumblr. I don't know if it's been going on the BioWare social network, but it's called, there's a meme coming out called Scumbag Vanguard, you know, like Scumbag Steve, where it's like, here's an example. Kill Atlas with melee, spine intact. Meanwhile, you die from an explosion. Here's another one. It's not kill stealing, it's kill helping. You enter a random lobby as a Vanguard. Other players leave.
That's exactly what happens.
When you're playing as a Vanguard, charge Nova, over and over and over.
I didn't know Vanguards were so despised. To be honest.
Yeah, you just started the demo today.
No, I started it, well, the multiplayer, yeah.
Yeah, the multiplayer,
the other day,
that's
I
what I meant.
The story.
Yeah.
Line.
Yeah, this is all, we're talking strictly multiplayer Vanguards.
I like how disappointed Raph sounded when he found out that I had the demo 3 days before anybody else. Oh, that shit was funny. He wasn't pissed, but he was disappointed.
Like, no, I wasn't disappointed. I was just like sad. I was like, oh, you got to play it? Oh.
Yeah, exactly.
I wasn't disappointed. I was just sad. I was like, Lucky.
The worst part for Raph, though, was that I got an extra code and I gave it to Sarah and not him. So.
Well, I didn't mind about that, you know. When I asked you about that, it was the day before the demo was coming out, so I was like, eh, whatever, I can wait another 6 hours. But at that point, I was like, but he still got to play it early. I'm sad.
Okay, show of hands. I pretty much already know the answer to this question, but I'm sure everybody else doesn't. Were you guys playing it on Xbox or PS3?
Xbox.
Okay, and I'm also
playing on my laptop. PC. So,
oh, okay. Yeah. Well, yeah, I was going to say, I played the demo on PS3, and that's only because I couldn't get my Xbox to cooperate with me. I've been having internet issues with it, but for whatever reason, I haven't had any problems with PS3 as far as downloading demos. And like I said, I played the storyline a couple days ago, and I played the multiplayer a little bit earlier. I don't know if you wanted to discuss like the difference between the consoles or like PC versus console.
I don't think there's going to be much of a difference between the console versions specifically. Obviously, the PC version is going to have, you know,
they're going to have mods. They're going to have like
they'll have the usual stuff that PC gamers have over console gamers,
like better graphics.
I don't really
care. Mouse keyboard.
I'm a console gamer. I gamed on PCs in the past, but like specific PC games. Remember when games used to be on fucking floppy disks?
Yeah.
Like, I was doing that.
I played Treasure Mountain on floppy disk. I understand.
I played the original King's Quest on floppy.
The last game I played on a PC, barring like a 10-day World of Warcraft demo, which I only played for like 2 days because I got sick of it, was Age of Mythology, which was super awesome. I don't know, I'm just more comfortable on consoles, so I'm fine with it.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, same here. I grew up mostly on consoles. I mean, yeah, I played like Diablo 2, like most other people. I played StarCraft, mostly custom games where we just massed up units and stuff like that and watched giant armies go against each other with no real strategy.
That's always fun.
Yeah, like you get resources in a second to make about 50 units, so yeah, just like silly shit like that. But yeah, I played my share of PC games. I even played, like, Lord of the Rings StarCraft remakes where, like, you would run around as a ghost called Legolas and you would snipe motherfuckers. So, but honestly, it was just, I've always felt more comfortable on consoles. Yeah, it's even just, though I never really jumped into online gaming until about 2007. So, yeah.
It's just something about sitting on a game chair or a couch or whatever with a controller in your hand in front of a 42-inch TV just fucking having a blast. And I mean, yeah, you can hook up your PC, you know, to your TV so you can, you know, game on the PC but still see it on your TV. But I did that before and it just didn't feel right to me. You know, I'm just comfortable in front of a couch, or I mean, sitting on a couch in front of a TV.
Well, just the big reason why it didn't feel comfortable with the TV versus a PC monitor is because they actually changed the field of view whenever they transfer one game from PC to console and vice versa. Like the average field of view, you know, the number of degrees you see on the screen is about 60 on a console. 60 degrees, that's normal for most people. That's what's in focus whenever you're looking around your room or whatever. Listeners, you could even try this too. But when you're on your laptop or computer or anything, computer monitors are smaller, but it's taking up more of your field of vision. So what they do is increase the field of view to about like 100 degrees. So you might be seeing more, and then when you zoom it out, it's just gonna give you like a what the fuck, cause you'll be seeing more, and it's like, everything's a little distorted at a distance, and you're like, whoa!
Right. Really grainy.
Yeah. Well,
trying to fit too much into one little screen.
Well, not really grainy, cause they're both HD, but at the same time, it's like, it's just like, imagine being able to look at your computer screen, and look at like, say a web page or something, or a YouTube video. You see that, and you're focused on maybe the middle third of the screen. You zoom that out, and then you see everything on the screen, you might get a headache.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, because your eyes are trying to process too much.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why most people who transfer, like, PC games to their TVs without changing the field of view. It's like, whoa, what?
Speaking about field of view and certain things like that, kind of going back to the Mass Effect franchise, in Mass Effect 1, the text at the bottom of the screen, or text that you would read in like codex entries, it was a good enough size that you could, you know, read it and not have any problems. If you even if you had a small TV,
Yeah.
But for Mass Effect 2, they made the text a lot smaller, so a lot of people with standard definition televisions were complaining that they couldn't read the text because
it was so small. It was so skinny.
And it was funny.
It was anorexic text.
I recall Chris Priestley on the BioWare social network saying something along the lines of, "Who doesn't have an HD TV?" I was like, wow. Because I upgraded from a 13-inch TV that was standard to a 42-inch flat-panel LCD HD TV.
Nice.
And that was just a huge improvement, and I'm never going back. Although I do miss that little tech. So I'm just picturing, I was like, okay, if I play Mass Effect 2 and now Mass Effect 3 on that 13-inch standard definition TV, would I be able to read the text? And I'm like, fuck no. There's no way I could read that stuff.
Because the pixels, each of the pixels on a standard def TV are about as big as the text. That's basically how it is. Like, Prince, I know how you feel, because I went from a 10-inch standard def TV to a 60-inch DLP TV.
God damn!
And then also a mono speaker to a surround sound 5.1 Panasonic surround sound system. It's hard to go back to standard def for me. Like,
it's impossible to go back to standard, really.
Yeah, like, especially if you get like an HD TV that's like maybe 30 to 60 inches, or maybe even an entire wall for some people who have really high def projectors. It's so hard to see shit on standard def TVs unless you're point blank right next to the screen, almost blinding yourself.
Transition!
Prince, do you enjoy being a scumbag vanguard in multiplayer?
Yeah, I enjoy stealing kills from my friends, although to be fair...
You're not stealing, you're helping.
To be fair, they steal kills from me all the time. I remember one game we were in, which was... It was fucked up because we were playing on bronze difficulty, right? So it's not even that hard.
Yeah.
Every single time I'm about to get a kill, either someone charges the enemy and takes a kill from me, or I charge someone and I didn't kill them, and then like one bullet later from someone else, they get the kill. And I'm like, what the fuck? I'm just getting assists on everything. And I was like, god damn it!
Usually people complain about me playing Infiltrator, if anything. The sniper class.
Why?
Yeah, because here's what happens. I cloak, and then while I'm in the back, I see them engaging some enemies. And then while they're about to do the final blow to them, or they're about to fire one last shot, they see their head explode, and they're like, god damn it!
Oh, yeah, I get you. No, dude, I appreciate infiltrators because there's sometimes, like, one time I was playing, three friends of mine, well, me included, were vanguards, and then another friend of ours was an infiltrator. Sometimes when we were just in the shitter, getting fucked up, our infiltrator friend was busting ass, helping out.
Yeah.
I remember one time when I was, like, literally about to die, I had one little smidgen of health left. I had no health packs to save me. No one was really around me at the time, and I was like, oh, God, I'm going to die. Next thing I know, the enemy was about to kill me. Boom! Head is gone. I was like, thank you for stealing my kill that time. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
I don't mind the assists on Mass Effect 3 from what I gather, because the biggest group of people I played with was like a group of three, and they were soldiers. I was an engineer. I was just, you know, getting a feel for the game. There were so many moments where I was like this close to dying that it didn't bother me that somebody else like stepped in, because I was, you know, I was maybe like this close to dying and I had to reload. And I'm like, oh crap. And I didn't have any cover because I'm an idiot and I rush people with like no health.
Playing like a vanguard. Playing like a vanguard.
Perhaps.
Vanguards don't need cover.
I get overly aggressive at times.
Vanguards, what is holding position? What is that?
Vanguards are cover. Like, we are the cover for our teammates. They get behind us so they don't get shot while we do.
Anyway, Eric, sorry. Continue.
I attribute my over-aggressiveness to every other first-person shooter I've ever played. But, yeah, there's times where, like, I'm in a really rough spot. And I don't mind when I end up getting an assist because they stepped in to kill somebody, because in my opinion, it's a group effort. When you're playing with a team, I mean, yeah, you want to get as many kills as you can and look like, you know, a hot shot or what have you, but, it's not that big a deal because we're all gaining points. We're all working together as a team. I mean, that's kind of the point. You want to get as high a level or whatever.
Yeah, because it's a co-op multiplayer.
Right.
Yeah, it's not like,
it's a team effort.
Yeah, it's not like competitive co-op.
all the experience you get is added together and everybody gets it. So it's not like, oh, if one person is doing really, really well, that's okay because you're going to get credit for what they're doing.
Right,
so
and
it's fine.
That kind of trickles over to a lot of other games too. So
yeah,
I don't understand why people complain about that so hard.
It's not really like Call of Duty. When I think of Call of Duty, I think of it as more like a everyone's kind of.
It's a very lone wolf game.
Yeah, you
know? Yeah, it can be.
Yeah,
compared to say like a Battlefield, which is much more of a team game.
Yeah, like if you're say playing Call of Duty normally on online games, whenever I'm playing, you can suck but still win a bowl of Lucky Charms if somebody does really well and gets a 15 kill streak. And then owns everything. But meanwhile, you got Battlefield where you can see somebody with a KD of 36 and 2 and still lose.
And then I divert all my attention to them.
Yeah.
I try and find that guy with 36 and 2 just to cut him down to size.
Shoot him with a mortar.
I sneak him and I shank him, or I blow up the tank he's been pouring for the past 20 minutes. You know.
Something I do usually is get an aerial vehicle, fly up, have my friend pilot it away as I parachute out, look down, and throw C4 on top of him.
Nice.
And then detonate it while I'm parachuting down toward him.
I just throw rockets.
You throw rockets? You throw rockets like fucking Wesker from Resident Evil?
I wish.
Okay.
I'm usually kind of a heavy weapons, pretty much.
I am heavy weapons guy.
I can pretty much use any weapon. The ones I don't normally really bother with are sniper rifles because I'm not typically the kind of person who sits still. I'm more of like a stealthy, sneaking around, being that bastard who stabs you and it came out of nowhere.
Sounds exactly like an engineer.
That's what I do when I play Call of Duty. Battlefield specifically I just gave up on, but Call of Duty I still play. Basically Modern Warfare 2, because I'm not a big fan of Black Ops or Modern Warfare 3.
Yeah.
But I play Search and Destroy. That's my favorite game type because it's a team effort in COD. if all your team dies and it's 1v6, then you're by yourself, and then you gotta fucking kick some monkey ass.
Right.
But I'm the kind of player who decides to sneak around, be quiet. Basically, they can't hear me, can't see me, and I'm taking them out. Not from far away with a sniper rifle, but basically mid-range or close range, just depending on the situation. Although, getting prepared for Mass Effect 3, knowing that I'm gonna play a Vanguard...
Fuck is sneaking?
In Modern Warfare 2, I was like, you know what? I'm going to make a running class, I'm going to put on Marathon Pro, Ninja Pro, Lightweight Pro, I got a fucking AA-12 with extended mags, and I was literally just pissing people off by running in their face with an auto shotgun. God, they were mad. You have no idea how many racial slurs I heard, and how many, My Little Pony sucks, things I had to hear, because my freaking Xbox Live gamertag, for those of you who don't know, is Rainbow-TSR. So, that was entertaining. They were getting killed by Rainbow Dash with an AA-12.
You should have played My Little Pony, the theme, through
your
headset.
My friend does that when we play together. He knows people get pissed off when I kill them. So he'll play the theme music to Friendship is Magic or any of the songs of the show just because he knows that there's going to be some, 11-year-old kid playing COD who's like, fuck!
When I was playing Battlefield sometime in the past week, while playing the Mass Effect 3 demo, I was like, oh, hey, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to run around and, you know, I'm probably going to be the closer range person than usual. And I'm just going with an 870 shotgun, which anybody who plays Battlefield knows it's a beast of a shotgun. Just running up, charging people, clearing out hallways, that combined with C4. It's always fun. But anyway, I know we've talked a lot about the multiplayer in Mass Effect 3. Obviously, all of us are excited, and overall, what do you guys think about it? Is it a lot better than what you thought it was going to be? Is it worse? Is it whatever? What do you guys think?
Initially, when I first heard that Mass Effect 3 was going to have a multiplayer component, I freaked out, because I was like, shit, you know? This is obviously going to be on the same discs as the single player is, so there's probably going to be some space, you know, they have to allocate disc space for this multiplayer. So I was like, okay, single player is probably not going to be as big as it could have been, but we'll see. I was worried. Then I heard it was co-op, and I started getting details about it, and I was like, okay, doesn't sound very bad, let me give this a chance. I was a little uneasy, a little wary. And as more information came in, I started to get a little more into it, started to get a little excited. And then when I finally saw it shown off, I was like, okay, I want to get in on that. And then I played it, and I was like, this is fun as hell. I hate horde modes, okay? I cannot play Gears of War at all, really, because I just don't like the game. But that's kind of what I got introduced to as far as horde mode is concerned. And these games that have, like, zombies, like, for example, Black Ops, or, you know, horde modes of different styles and types, I never have fun with them. But with the Mass Effect kind of horde mode co-op, I like it. It's not just a simple horde mode where you kill everything that comes at you. Yeah, there's waves, but there's also objectives. There's also things you have to do.
Yeah, like, a lot of horde modes, if you want to call them that, in games, have started to introduce, like, different things. Like, Gears of War 2's horde mode, I didn't like. Gears of War 2, I didn't like in general. Gears of War 3, I love, because they added tower defense shit in Gears of War 3's horde mode. Like, you're building turrets, barriers, and shit, while you chainsaw a motherfucker around a corner. Which is kind of insane. For Mass Effect 3, the demo so far, from what I've played, it's great, you know? I've always liked Mass Effect's combat, now that it's faster, and now that, you know, characters can kind of move around instead of shuffle side to side from cover and then stop to reload. In Mass Effect 2.
The game is so much harder than the first two games in the franchise, I can tell you that much.
Yeah, I know, but, like, the new mobility options give me more options to conquer different things, you know? And that's what I've been enjoying about the multiplayer. Eric, what about you?
I was pretty much in the same boat as Prince. As soon as they announced, oh, multiplayer, Mass Effect 3, and I facepalmed. I was just like, oh, this could be really bad. You know, I waited, I was patient. Obviously, I was still going to get it anyways, because I am a Mass Effect maniac, but,
We're all on that boat.
Yeah. I think that's why we're all here.
Yeah.
Basically.
But, you know, I was paying attention to the trailers and the details and the articles and what have you. And then I saw the very first multiplayer trailer, and I watched a few times, and I'm thinking, okay, this could be something here. Then finally the demo dropped, obviously, a few days ago or a week ago or whatever.
Whenever guys are listening to this.
Yeah, it's available. Go play it, goddammit. But, you know, I played the demo for a few hours, you know, just to get a feel for it, you know, figure out what the hell it's about and this and that, and obviously everything isn't unlocked yet because it's just a freaking demo. I was very impressed. I truly was. I did a complete 180. I was just like, wow. Okay, now I'm really excited for the multiplayer because not only is that adding to the game itself, I mean, as far as the replay value, it's fun. It's going to be an awesome alternative. I mean, you're only going to play the story mode for so long, and obviously that's going to be epic in and of itself, but now
there's
it has multiplayer, and that just adds so much more depth to it.
And the best part of it is, the part that people were probably face-palming and being worried about is that it was going to be competitive multiplayer. That's what I was worried about when they announced multiplayer for Mass Effect 3. I was like, oh shit, it might be competitive multiplayer, people counting their KDs and shit like that constantly in Mass Effect. And then they were like, oh, it's actually co-op. And then I was thinking, why the hell are you calling it multiplayer? Why didn't you just say co-op instead of freaking everybody out?
Well, that's not the only thing that people were freaked out about, if you mind me going on a tangent for a little bit.
Go ahead.
People were freaked out about it affecting the single player. That actually has a huge single player component, because in the single player, you're going to have to develop war assets to fund this war against the Reapers.
Yes.
And multiplayer is going to help you do that. And people were like, oh, shit, you know, what about the people who don't have Xbox Live, you know, or, you know, I should say, don't have Xbox Live Gold, you know, what about the people who won't be playing the multiplayer, what if they don't want to, you know, is this going to make the single player harder for them, and people were just freaking out and going crazy on the forums, and me, I try to be positive on the forums, I try not to be
a member of Nancy.
Exactly.
Or Nate.
So, I was trying to be like, you know, relax, just wait, and, you know, we find out that in the single player, you can get the best possible result through just the single player. You don't need the multiplayer for that. What the multiplayer is going to do is make it easier to get the best ending.
Yeah, it gives you options.
It gives you another option to get that best ending. Yeah. You don't have to take it, but you can. And I really, really like that.
Basically, what I've seen from whatever's been released for Mass Effect 3, it's going to give you more options. Whether it be like, especially from a gameplay front and story front. You know, multiplayer gives you a huge option to be able to strengthen certain areas of the galaxy, get better war assets to take back Earth. And then there's also going to be Facebook games, apps, and that sort of thing to help you out as well. So even if you are at work, taking your lunch break or whatever, you could still make the galaxy a little bit stronger through your iPhone.
I can just imagine, like, right now, Commander Shepard's, like, taking a lunch break somewhere.
I'm Commander Shepard, and I'm eating a fucking sandwich.
He's eating a sandwich. He's on his frickin', like, iPhone 400 or something, whatever it is in 2186. And he's fucking, like, hold on. Hey, James. Yeah, go do this and go take down that Reaper. And then someone's like, what are you doing? I'm saving the galaxy one sandwich at a time.
I'm Commander Shepard, and I'm going to go gay for James. What?
Whoa!
Whoa!
Wait. On the subject of sexuality, another thing I really like about Mass Effect 3 is that if you notice, in the first game, Shepard was either straight or
alien sexual.
Kind of. It's weird, because if you played as a female Shepard, you could either have Caden or Liara. Let's be honest, Liara is an alien, but she looks like a chick, so...
And she probably has lady parts, so it's okay.
So let's get real.
She's just blue and has tentacles for hair.
It's effectively a lesbian relationship.
Yeah.
And male Shepard in Mass Effect 1 had either Ashley or Liara, which means he had no gay option to match the female Shepard's lesbian option.
Yeah.
In Mass Effect 2, it was effectively the same way. So... In Mass Effect 3, people were, you know, they're like, this is the last chance for people to have, like, a real gay, like, relationship if they decided to put one in the game. Mm-hmm. And I can confirm, I won't say names or anything like that, but I can confirm that there is gay and lesbian, and by lesbian I mean, like, not an alien chick, I mean girl-on-girl relationships in Mass Effect 3. So, if anybody has been hankering for that and really, really desiring that, that is in the game. And I think that's super fucking cool.
Yeah,
that's a bold new step in gaming. I wonder how many people are gonna flip their shit over it though. Like, you know,
Fox
the
News
people
again.
In the government.
Fox
yeah.
News again.
Fox News again.
Again.
Yeah.
In the gaming community, for any listeners who are like listening to this but aren't like too deep into the gaming community, Fox News, you probably know from the political front, they're not exactly the most accurate news people ever.
That's putting it mildly.
Yeah, putting it mildly. Their guys and gals don't do research. They don't actually read whatever they need to in order to do a story.
I think it's their job just to make everybody paranoid.
Yeah, and it's a lot of what Fox News does. And for our friends overseas, if you're listening to this from England or... whatever, Fox News is fucking crazy. And you basically imagine the weird, overly conservative Jesus Americans coming from Fox News. That's what you usually will see. Anyway, a few years ago, back in 07-08...
Specifically, I remember clearly, it was Martin Luther King's Day in 2008, so it was in March.
Okay.
There was a report, it was Martha McCullum's little kind of mini show thing on Fox. She had a whole panel of people, and the report was called Sex Box. And
this was the sex scene from Mass Effect 1.
Yeah, this is
Mass Effect 1.
Right, I remember that.
They made a big fuss about the sex scene, which, by the way, they'd never even seen. They just had a couple of images from it, which they bleeped out the images for, like, no reason. There's nothing bad on it.
Yeah.
It was, like, a side boob and, like, an ass shot, which was the most you got. And then...
And it was a blue ass from a fucking alien.
And they didn't even get their facts straight. Martha McCullum was saying that the game lets you, like, choose what happens during the sex scene, and it's totally graphic.
If you want that sort of thing, just go play Heavy Rain. Do that.
If you want, like, basically, let's be honest, like, what she was describing was flat-out porn.
Yeah.
And she's talking about how, oh, video games are screwing up kids' minds, like, first off, if a kid wants porn, all he has to do is get on his computer, and in 2 minutes, he will find full, just complete porn anywhere for free. Why would a kid convince his parents to buy him a $60 video game where he has to play 20, 25, 30 hours just to get to a sex scene? I say that in quotes because in reality, you're not actually seeing sex takes place. It's more like the foreplay before sex. Which is only a, like...
And it's not even that.
It's like a 20-second to 40-second scene, depending on who you're romancing. Like, why would you Well, you really think a kid's going to go through all that work for that? Are you serious?
Well, there was also, back in the day, the hot coffee incident from San Andreas.
Grand Theft Auto.
San Andreas. You know, there were, like, over 180 codes and shit you had to do in the game in order to get to, like, a little hot coffee scene, I put it, and which was basically pretty explicit. But, at the same time, even though you had to do a lot of stuff, it wasn't out of reach of a 12-year-old who just had the time, you know? Which people were worried about, and I understand it. And same thing with Mass Effect, it's really easy to get to. But the story was wrong, and it's a lot milder than the shit you see on daytime TV.
I was gonna say, if you stay up past midnight, you're gonna see a heck of a lot more than a 20-second cutscene in a video game. That wasn't even really that bad to begin with.
Oh yeah, no, it gets better. For those of you who didn't actually watch the actual report, basically...
Didn't
Martha
they
McCollum,
get Jeff Keighley on there,
yeah,
too?
Martha, yeah, Martha McCollum was leading this thing. She had a panel of about, I think, maybe three or four other adults who don't game at all, so I don't know why the hell they were talking about it. But as a counterpoint to her, she brought Jeff Keighley onto the show, who, by the way, is a badass. He is a fucking champion.
For any listeners out there, he basically is a very hardcore gaming reporter.
And on top of that, also to support Martha McCollum's side, she brought Cooper Lawrence, who was a author of several books, and she actually had a new book coming out at the time, which I forgot the name of it, but the best
part... Why would
part
you want to remember
is
it?
Is that... I know, right? No, hold on. Cooper Lawrence was, you know, just being a complete and total bitch. Jeff Keighley was being honest. He even asked them, was like, did you even play the game? Did you see the cutscenes at all? And they're like, no. So it's like, so you're talking about something you have no idea about. They cut Jeff Keighley off.
I remember that.
And took him off the thing, and then they went on a rant for like 5 minutes afterward. The best part is, Cooper Lawrence's book hit Amazon, right? You know, you can order it, review it, and everything.
Yeah.
Gamers were brought together by the report on Mass Effect. So what they did was they went to Cooper's book and they reviewed it saying, oh, well, I didn't actually read the book, but I heard about all this bad stuff about it, so I'm going to rate it a 1 out of 5, and I think it sucks, and I think you should buy it.
I remember that.
And there were hundreds and hundreds of these, and the book just got bombed. And then Cooper saw this, and she was like, wait, okay, well, what the hell's going on?
It's called payback, bitch.
Yeah, that's payback, but hold on. So she got somebody to play the game and get to the actual scene in question, and she watched it, and she was like, wait, that's the scene? And they're like, yeah, that's the scene. She's like, I've seen, you know, more graphic stuff on Lost. And so she came out to the gaming community, and she apologized, and she admitted she was wrong. BioWare and Electronic Arts tried to get an apology out of Fox News, because, let's be honest, that was horrible reporting. And Fox News not only did not apologize, but the only thing they said was, oh, EA, if you want to bring any representatives onto our show to discuss this, blah, 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 then we'll work that out. I was like, that's just bullshit. They won't admit that they were completely wrong in what they did.
Yeah, I mean, there was also the, I think it was last year, yeah. Was it Cooper Lawrence? Was that her
show? No, Cooper Lawrence was a guest on the
Okay, it was
You're probably thinking of Martha McCollum.
Yeah, Martha McCollum. I think it was her. On Fox News, when Bulletstorm came out, they said that the game encouraged rape.
What?
Well, what?
Yeah, I know. Bulletstorm, for any listeners who don't know, it's probably one of the most violent games I know of. And they say stupid profanity, but that's just about it. Like, shut up, you dictate! Or something. Yeah, that's basically what it gets to. There's nothing sexual at all in it.
Fox News, I'm surprised they didn't fucking have a report on Angry Birds. Talking about, oh, this is reinforcing violence towards the avian race, or like, whatever. Really? Like, God.
Well, they're not as bad. Well, I don't know. PETA's bad as PETA. I don't know. PETA's, they're both bad in their own way, you know?
Transition!
Anyway, I'm glad that they're bringing in, like, a bunch of gay romances for anybody who wants
this
to ship.
This is the thing. Not just on the sexuality that is involved in these romances, but the content of the romances. I don't know if you guys noticed, but Mass Effect 1's romance scene, it was very artistic, and it was very well done. It was exceptional. I really, really liked it. But ever since then, the romances in BioWare games in general have not been nearly as good. And a lot of people feel that it's because of the outrage that happened from Fox News.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
Yeah.
Mass Effect 1, we saw how that was. You know, you had a side boob and an ass shot, and they were not wearing...
Are you talking about the sex scenes themselves, or are you talking about the build-up?
Okay,
I was thinking the build-up. I'm like, the build-up's just as good in Mass Effect 2.
No, that's fine. Yeah.
The build-up's the same. It's the actual act that has changed.
Yeah, in Mass Effect 1, the lighting and the music and everything was perfect. Then, let's go. The next game that BioWare had released was Dragon Age Origins, which...
was horrendous.
The sex scene, like, in my opinion, wasn't terrible, but it wasn't nearly as good.
It was just fucking creepy, in my opinion. A dwarf going down on an elf.
Then we had Mass Effect 2's sex scene, or sex scenes, because there were more than one in it. And those wasn't even really anything happening. It was just... it felt stupid, like I was being insulted. In Dragon Age 2, it was just ridiculous. Like, they keep putting more and more clothes on the characters as they go along.
Well, I mean, the one with Miranda, that one was just kind of funny. Because it's like, oh, hey, anybody who can say, hey, you know what, Tally likes you, and stuff like that. And then you turn her down, and then afterward you go with Miranda in the engine room where Tally works, and fuck her right there. I mean...
No, but the best part, though, is, like, you think that's the end of it? If you have the Kasumi DLC,
yeah.
You talk to Kasumi after that?
Yeah, she's like
where Tally works? Really, Commander?
I didn't catch that part.
Yeah, like, if you talk to Kasumi after the final mission and, after going with Miranda and stuff like that, Kasumi's like, really, Commander, in the engine room? But come on, you gotta say this to me. Is she completely genetically enhanced? Because, wow.
And then there's another thing that's kind of, like, creepy about Kasumi. You know, she talks about going around the ship cloaked so that, like, nobody knows where she's at. That makes you wonder, what has she seen?
Well, I mean, also think about it. Cerberus bugs and shit everywhere. Like, Morden warns you about that stuff. If you go with Miranda or Jacob... He says, biotics can help induce arousal, but at the same time, because it's Cerberus, he coughs, watch out for bugs.
I can love Morden, dude. Morden was like the greatest, but basically,
he was my
favorite character in Mass Effect 2.
He was the most underrated character in Mass Effect 2, in my opinion.
Underrated?
I wouldn't say underrated. People loved Morden.
Far as, like, actually using him in combat, I don't really know of too many people that
you
actually
don't play
did.
Vanguard.
I used the hell out of him.
That's because you don't play Vanguard. Vanguard, he's like, oh, hey, organic right next to him, burst into flames,
actually,
you kill the guy next to him.
I don't use Morden in combat. Basically, in Mass Effect 2, all I use in combat is a combination of Garrus, Miranda, and Tally. Once I get Tally, I start using Miranda a lot less.
I don't use Tally, but anyway.
Basically, I use those three just because, for example, with Garrus and Tally, they were with me in Mass Effect 1, so that's Team Dextro. You know, I love those characters. And in Miranda, she's just really useful, incredibly.
Yeah.
So I really like her character.
Yeah, Miranda's the most useful squad mate overall. She gives you bonuses, like with weapon damage and also health. And at the same time, like, she also...
She gives your other squad mate that you take with her bonuses, which is fucking amazing.
Yeah, like, and you. So...
Exactly. Like, for example, Miranda, to me, is a necessity on Insanity.
Yeah.
Which is saying a lot, because she's not exactly the strongest character when it comes to, like, health and shield or barrier.
I found her dying a lot on Insanity.
She does die a lot, but when she's... Like, when you have her, because of the perks that she has and her biotics... You know, the fact that she has warp, she's just so useful. I found myself on Insanity using her and Garrus, and Garrus actually was not helping me very much. And I was like, why is Garrus not helping me on Insanity?
Yeah, because Garrus was like the perfect wingman on Mass Effect 1. I struggled with him on Mass Effect 2.
Mass Effect 2, I mean, he does a lot of damage, because, you know, he's a sniper. And also, he has overload, which can take down shields. But then, in Mass Effect 2, once you get in... got higher than anything on Veteran, other than Overload and his damage output, I found him dying a lot.
Yeah, he wasn't...
He
was,
he was a glass cannon.
What is the reason behind this? And when I recruited Thane, I switched Garrus out for Thane, and I don't know what the fuck caused it, but Thane was just so much better.
Thane is beefier, and also he does a lot more damage.
I was just like, you know what it was? It probably was the fact that because Miranda has warp and Thane has warp, I could like double warp the shit out of people.
Actually, one of the funniest things I did on Insanity was I play a Vanguard that has an emphasis on charge and pull, with a bit of squad cryo. So basically, people are freezing everywhere, being launched into the air and stuff like that. That's how I play Vanguard. So like, here's what I do when I play Miranda and Thane. I usually pull somebody out of cover and then have one of them warp the guy floating. That way, when you combine biotic powers, for anybody who's playing through Mass Effect 2 and going to be playing 3, it gets more powerful. So warp actually becomes even more explosive, and you do that in the middle of some enemies. You do that, they get all weakened, then you charge in, and I just clean up. That's right. And the fact that my allies were freezing people, it made it so insanity with a Vanguard so much easier.
I didn't really use cryo ammo. I didn't find it extremely useful.
I used incendiary personally, but I equipped my squad with cryo. So basically, my squad was freezing people, and I was doing all the damage.
The way I set up my character was I actually upgraded incendiary all the way to inferno ammo. So
that's
ton of damage. And then I put no points in a cryo because I felt it was just completely useless. Mm-hmm. I did not enjoy it at all. I put, I believe, 1 point into just so I could have it. I didn't really focus on it at all. Yeah. And then the rest of my points went into charge, shockwave, champion, so I could have higher Paragon Renegade.
Yeah.
And my character is just freaking completely mint. Fucking insanity was hard. I'm not gonna lie. It was hard as hell. I got through it. And now, you know, playing the demo for Mass Effect 3, I realize that insanity is gonna be so much harder because now the enemies are not just killing you with guns. Now they're setting up turrets. Now they're using grenades.
Yeah, they're also at the same time, while they're smarter, you're kind of nerfed in the demo. Because think about it. You're importing a character. You're gonna start at level 30, right? Also, think about it this way. You're carrying all the weapons you can in the demo. Remember, each character, the more weapons you carry, the heavier you get, and also the higher your cooldowns are going to be. The less weapons you carry, the lighter you're going to be, and the lower your cooldowns are going to be. So if you're going to be playing a Vanguard or even an Engineer, you might have like, for me, I'm going to have like a submachine gun and my shotgun, and that's it. I am literally going to go with all that so I can have a 2 or 3 second cooldown on my charge so I can constantly charge Nova shotgun, charge Nova shotgun.
That's what sucks for me though, because in Mass Effect 2, I was a very gun heavy Vanguard. Like, I would use every weapon I had, my pistol, my submachine gun, my shotgun, my assault rifle.
Yeah.
The only thing I didn't really use were heavy weapons. But in Mass Effect 3, I can't afford to do that because now we have the weight restrictions. So I have to carry just, you know, very specific things. And I don't have to use my biotics a lot more, which makes me happy. But, you know, I got to change my style a little bit. So I'm thinking, and I don't know what I'm going to go with, but I'm thinking assault rifle just because it's kind of an all-purpose weapon. You can't go wrong with an assault rifle.
Yeah, the assault rifle in Mass Effect 2 was actually very effective.
Vanguard, so got to have a shotgun. If I can still have the space, I'll probably throw in a pistol or something. Yeah. I don't know, though. I'll figure it out when I play the game.
Yeah, I've been playing mostly with the build in multiplayer because that seems to be more accurate to what Vanguard's going to act like in single player when I'm having very few weapons. Because in the multiplayer, I basically learned that Shockwave is finally useful to me, unlike Mass Effect 2, where Shockwave was just a meh power for me.
Oh, that's... Yeah. That's the opposite for me. In Mass Effect 2, Shockwave was just a beast, and then in Mass Effect 3, I'm like, you know, Shockwave isn't really helping me very much.
Well, the thing is, I used Shockwave in Mass Effect 2 to try and kill people. In Mass Effect 3, I use it just for crowd control, just to knock people down and then run up and shotgun them.
Again, we're opposites, because in Mass Effect 2, I used it for crowd control. In Mass Effect 3, I'm trying to kill people with it.
Yeah, because, like, the beauty of Mass Effect, whenever we're playing the same class, because both, if anybody couldn't notice, both Prince and I play Vanguard. I play a very ability-heavy, aggressive Vanguard. Prince plays a very weapon-heavy, aggressive Vanguard. Like, I'm pulling people constantly. I'm having my squad mates use cryo ammo to freeze motherfuckers while I charge in and then do abilities. And I burst damage them to death with weapons and whatever I have. Prince basically will shoot them while charging. right?
Pretty much. I do stay behind cover sometimes, and I'll pop off headshots and stuff like that. But generally speaking, if I see an enemy to charge and I've got my weapon out, then I'll do that. I use my biotics a lot, mind you. I'm by no means am I saying that I don't use my biotics. I would say I'm definitely a weapon-heavy vanguard when it comes to my gameplay style. If you want to see that, you can visit my YouTube channel, youtube.com/prince19912. And I have two videos where I was reviewing the Firepower weapon pack that came out with the Matic Assault Rifle, the Geth Plasma Shotgun, and the Phalanx Heavy Pistol for Mass Effect 2.
Yeah.
And you can see me using my Vanguard to take out 3 Ymir mechs. That was hard. I had to do it twice for the video. And you can see me basically being very weapon-heavy there. Of course, I was showing off the weapons, but, you know.
Well, I know we've been talking about Vanguard a lot. Eric, you said you play Engineer a lot.
Okay, well, for the record, I'm not an engineer that often. I said I was an engineer for the demo, just, you know, I could have picked anybody, but I say, oh, screw it, I'll be an engineer, but, because I wasn't sure what exactly I was getting into. Pretty much, I haven't been a Vanguard in anything since Mass Effect 1.
Okay.
And that's only because, like, when I first started playing Mass Effect 1, I wasn't, you know, I didn't know what particular class was going to be good for me, so I was like, alright, screw it, I'll be a Vanguard.
And Vanguards in Mass Effect 1 were basically adepts with shotguns. And
right,
medium
right.
armor.
Yeah, I kind of lean towards the soldier / biotics. I've always been impartial to biotics, and I usually, when I'm playing through a story or a campaign rather, like on Mass Effect 2, my group was usually always very versatile. Like I was either a soldier or I had a soldier.
So
or
were you a jack of all trades player or pretty good at everything?
I would bounce back and forth. I'd have to say though, I usually leaned more towards the biotics because I think they're very effective in combat.
Okay.
I wasn't necessarily a Vanguard in Mass Effect 2.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I'll even be one in Mass Effect 3, but
yeah.
I'm sure biotics will probably come into play for me at some point.
Okay, so
I mean they made it easier in Mass Effect 2 and probably as well in the third one as far as having more weapons to use.
Yeah.
So,
like, I noticed in Mass Effect 1, biotics were clunky as hell, but overpowered. Prince, you might remember in Mass Effect 1, Singularity.
Oh,
in
that's
Mass Effect
thing.
1.
This is the thing. In Mass Effect 1, there were achievements to use certain powers and abilities 75 times.
Yeah.
And so I had to use Singularity 75 times to get that achievement. So I did use it, but not as, like, actual, you know, trying to play the game. I was just trying to get the achievement with an adept.
Oh, okay.
Back in Mass 1, I played as a Vanguard, and I used Lift and Throw to fucking, like, instantly kill things by tossing them over ledges that they couldn't land on any ground. It was fucking awesome. In Mass Effect 2, that was gone. You know, Lift was renamed Pull, and I was like, no, I don't have Throw.
But yeah, but
Shockwave did the job, though.
Okay. Yeah, because, like, Shockwave in Mass Effect 3 now acts differently. It doesn't travel along the ground kind of slowly. Now it's super fast, closer ranged, but, like, it goes in a straight line in the air, which I find really useful, especially against Guardians or groups of people in a hallway. Say there are a lot of guys hiding behind cover, I flank them, I use Shockwave, and then just run in and then kill them. I did in Mass Effect 3.
I noticed in the demo that it was actually a bit of an advantage to be an engineer.
Yeah,
so
engineer is my second best class.
Right. I was going to say, because it looks like, according to the demo, being an engineer is going to be very advantageous, because just solely for the fact that I noticed a lot of enemies had the armor and the shields, and the engineers, I mean, they could take them on perfectly.
They just
knock
off the shields or the armor really easily,
and
then shoot
them. They're usually either disoriented or they're stunned, and then you can just take a couple pistol rounds and just lob their head off.
Yeah,
and
I love what they did with the overload in Mass Effect 3.
Yeah.
Now it stuns people even if they don't have shields, and it works on biotic barriers. And the fact that it can chain into different enemies. I upgraded my overload on my engineer, so so it, like, chains into different enemies standing next to each other. So, like, I'll have, like, four guys that are stunned, and I'll shoot all of them while my combat drone's doing its own thing. And then also you have Incinerate, which still burns people, and it's always funny.
Yeah, it's funny because I can't remember which BioWare developer said it, but they said that in multiplayer, the Vanguard is basically the combat drone for every other player from the team.
Yeah.
And I think it's funny because I was talking to my friends, and I was like, you know, every single one of us are Vanguards, right? And we're like, yeah. So I was like, so are we all each other's combat drones? Like, can you just imagine just combat drones flying everywhere, fucking shit up?
Yeah, like, Vanguards and Mass Effect 3 multiplayer, from what we can tell, in,
are the trolls.
Are kind of the trolls, the scumbag Vanguards. I'm not kill-stealing, I'm kill-helping.
If you want to piss people off in multiplayer in Mass Effect 3, you want to play a Vanguard.
Or you play a Krogan.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, because basically, Eric, I don't know if you came across a Krogan yet.
Not yet.
All right. The Krogan soldier, basically, to get damage bonuses, they melee people, and they can one or two shot everything in melee combat.
Wow.
So basically, they'll hit a few people, go into rage mode, and then become beefier and also do more damage, so they'll keep doing that to all the enemies, and you're like, ah, damn it! While you see a guy fly about 20 feet out of the way as you see a Krogan headbutt him.
In multiplayer, I play a human female, and basically my strategy as a Vanguard is literally to
charge Nova, shotgun.
Charge them, shoot them a little bit, and heavy melee.
Oh.
And repeat.
Oh, me, it's charge Nova shotgun. That's all I do.
I have not used Nova. The reason I don't use Nova in multiplayer, and I know that's crazy coming from me since I'm the fucking reason it's in the game in the first place.
Okay, to go on a tangent, we haven't revealed this to the listeners yet. You were the person who gave the BioWare developers the idea for Nova.
Okay, I guess I'll touch on that story for a little bit. April of 2011, Christina Norman, who was formerly the lead gameplay designer for the Mass Effect franchise, was asking people for ideas, specifically for biotic attacks for the Vanguard class, which meant a lot to me because I play the Vanguard and I use biotics, so, you know, I want to throw some ideas her way. And I guess because I'm one of the power users on the forums, I'm one of the more notable members on the BSN, I don't know if that counted at all, but I gave her several ideas, and looking back, some of them are pretty stupid. But one of them I called Biotic Sacrifice. The description I gave her was the Vanguard sacrifices his or her barrier, and in a wave-type attack around them, does damage to anyone that's in the area. And it's high-risk, high-reward, like the Vanguard's supposed to be, because they just sacrifice their only defense, and now they're open to damage, although it's very powerful, and it can kill everybody around them.
Yeah.
And then she hit me up later telling me that it was this really, really, really good idea that she really liked, and she was going to see what she could do about it. Then you fast forward a few months. I hadn't heard anything. She had already left BioWare because she moved with her husband to the States, started working for Riot Games on League of Legends. And as it turns out, I hear about this power called Biotic Nova, which, you know, we know what it does now. Exactly that. And I was like, whoa, 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 slow down, what? So I started messaging BioWare developers like, okay, what's going on? What's going on? And I can't say names because they told me specifically not to tell anyone who they were. I was told, yeah, the idea was mine. They took my idea and used it. And the reason they're not, like, coming out with it is because they know it'll get to my head. Which I was like, too late.
because Nova, basically in multiplayer, now with my Vanguard, all I do is, against phantoms, it's so easy, I just charge Nova, shotgun them in the head, and they're dead. That's how fast I kill phantoms. Like, Nova is that powerful. It's ridiculous. The phantoms that will instant kill you at close range, yeah, I just charge Nova, shotgun, that's it.
The reason I don't use Nova in multiplayer is because in single player, I think you might get away with it, like using it, you know, correctly, but in multiplayer, you've got so many more enemies and are around you on all sides I feel like it's not worth the risk, in my opinion.
I actually found it very, very useful. I'll usually use it around assault troopers because they have no shields and they're all knocked down, and I have fast enough reflexes where I can clean them up with a shotgun. Usually I can clear out a room in a matter of seconds using charge, Nova, and a couple shotgun shots and a melee.
When I see a phantom coming at me, I'm like, Phantom! I start freaking out. I start shooting the shit out of her face.
Yeah,
wait, cooties!
Also, with infiltrators, here's what I do. I just cloak, so the phantom's like, oh, where'd you go? Goes into cover, headshot, dead.
That's so cheap.
Phantoms are so easy for me now.
That is such a bitch move.
Infiltrators,
see,
turn
Vanguards
invisible.
Don't have that.
No, okay. Vanguards, I just go full aggressive. Even if there are enemies around me, charge, Nova, shotgun, run away. When the
Speaking
Phantom's
of,
dead.
There's this funny story. I forgot what round it was on Silver, but we had like 4 Phantoms or something we had to kill. Or some crazy number like that. Eventually we got through them. There's one Phantom left, and everybody was like, don't charge her, don't charge her. But I charged her, and I killed her. And I was like, yeah, what? F***ing what? Yeah, you can't touch me. And a turret fucked me up. And I was like, shut up. No.
Yeah, and you're like, I'm sorry.
I don't deserve to be happy about
Yeah,
that.
Meanwhile, when I'm playing my engineer, it's like, oh, turret? Okay, and that's no problem. Overload, couple of shots, hide for a second to wait for the turret to reload, then incinerate, the turret's dead.
And then, when it comes to, like, Atlases in multiplayer, like, we don't even freak out about it, because we have the Cobra missiles that you can get.
Yeah.
From the recruit packs and the veteran packs and shit.
Yeah.
And
instantly
we just take them out with that. So, really, when we see an Atlas, we're like, oh, yeah, let's just use it. And the only time we don't is on, like, say, Silver, because we know that in the very last wave, wave 11, you have to wait for extraction, and you have all those enemies converging on one point. There's going to be a few Atlases, so at that point, you want to use the Cobra missiles. But
early
you know,
on, you don't want to use them.
Basically, yeah, I'd say that the enemy I'm most afraid of in the multiplayer is definitely the Phantom, because just the fact that it's a one-shot, and if you don't see her coming and she gets close to you,
Phantoms be bitches. Phantoms, I make them my bitch. They're so easy for me now, because usually I'm the one who's getting the most kills and points and stuff, and people are like, God damn it, you're such a scumbag!
I'm kind of like, I'm either towards the bottom of the team or around the middle. Sometimes I'm at the top. I guess you can say I'm anywhere.
I'm a very aggressive player when it comes to multiplayer. Like, even if I'm playing infiltrator, I'm constantly moving, even if I'm sniping. So, like, you'll see me drop about 3 guys while everybody else drops the other 3. Yeah.
Me and my friends, we come up with strategies where we're like, okay, you stay here, you stay here.
Oh,
we don't
hold
here.
Like, the guys I play with, we never hold position. Ever.
We hold position.
Yeah.
And we're like, vanguards and we hold position, which is kind of funny.
Yeah, we don't hold position ever. And most of the time I'm playing with infiltrators, engineers, and soldiers. Normal soldiers, not Krogan soldiers. Also, usually, what is it? Adepts. You know, the people who usually stay back. We never stay still. We'll, like, take cover every now and then, fire a couple things, and then run to another position, fire, run to another position, fire. Because usually, if you stay still, I found that you easily get overwhelmed. So,
yeah. They will bum rush you. I noticed that.
Yeah, like, especially when the final game comes out, you know, you're going to have the Reaper guys coming after you, like Husks.
The Collectors?
No, not the Collectors, the Husks. The Husks,
okay.
And also, like, the Husks of different species, like the Batarian Husks called Cannibals and stuff like that, and Husks usually bum rush you all the time.
Yeah.
Usually, that's all they ever do, because they're mindless.
You'll have them shooting at you and bum rushing you, and if you hold position, you're probably going to get overwhelmed. So
That's what's going to make Insanity so fucking hard in Mass Effect 3 is you can't hold position anymore.
Nova.
You have
Nova.
To keep moving.
Just
and
Nova.
The worst part is if it's harder than Mass Effect 2's Insanity, that sucks, because in Mass Effect 2 Insanity, if you were out of cover for 2 seconds, you're dead. So, then the worst part in Mass Effect 3, you have to be out of cover just to keep moving, because enemies are flanking you and shit.
Yeah,
and then on top of that, I don't know, you guys tell me, did you guys get the Insanity achievement from Mass Effect 2?
Yes.
Yeah, I did.
Okay, we all 3 of us did, though.
Yeah.
Well,
I actually think it was easier playing through Insanity on Mass Effect 2 than it was playing through on Mass Effect 1.
I agree, I played on hardcore on Mass Effect 1, and I had a very hard time, because there was a lot more bullshit, and in my opinion, like, snipers, one-shot kills, what, in Mass Effect 1? Mass Effect 2, the combat's a lot more structured, so I could predict what was happening a lot
more
easily.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can say the same thing.
That's what I feel like.
I disagree on the difficulty. I felt like Mass Effect 2's Insanity was harder. I don't know. It's just Mass Effect 1 Insanity. It was hard, but I got through it. And yeah,
I never got through it.
Stuck at a few parts, but I got past it and it was good. Mass Effect 2, I got stuck for hours on a couple of parts.
Yeah.
Like the fucking collector trap. Yeah, like
I.
Trap.
Yeah, like
I fucking hated that part.
I completed Insanity twice. Once with a Vanguard and once with an Infiltrator. The Infiltrator made Insanity basically the easiest thing ever. All I had to do was cloak, zoom in with the sniper rifle, have 2 seconds of slowdown, and then headshot them so I'd get a 250 damage bonus to the enemy before I got the anti-material rifle. So basically, the Mantis, I was one-shotting people by the time I was on Horizon. Yeah, Insanity became so easy because of the Infiltrator. Vanguard was hard.
Yeah, playing the and that's what I did. I beat Insanity with a Vanguard, and it was fucking insanely hard.
But now with powers having more utility for me, I'll probably be able to do Vanguard on Insanity now. Because, like, Shockwave now just stuns people so I can follow it up with something else. Or, like, have a teammate follow it up with something else, whatever. I don't know, a lot of the powers have more utility. Like, for example, if you're playing Engineer, you have Overload, which now stuns people. Anyway, speculating with Mass Effect 3, we've talked a lot about the multiplayer because, well, it's phenomenal and not what we expected in the slightest.
Yeah.
it's quite
a bit better than I anticipated. Combat. I'm really excited for it now.
I know, and the combat's a lot more fluid now, so it's a little easier to do some stuff. The thing I've harped on already is choices, choices, choices. Combat and multiplayer has given us more choices. What about the single player? What kind of major choices did you guys make in the first two games? Why did you kill or save the council? Why did you keep the collector base, or why did you destroy it? You know? What kind of choices did you guys make?
I have two different characters that I trade back and forth between. I have a good Shepard and a bad Shepard. Typically, I play through every Mass Effect first with my good Shepard. That doesn't mean I necessarily... Like, I've made some really, like, badass decisions with my good Shepard. Like, the moment in Mass Effect 2 where you're arguing with that guy in the building, you're trying to track down Thane. And then you're just
did
like,
you shove him out a window?
I'm put you out
you
a
shove
window.
Him out a window? Yeah.
Right. I mean, I have my moments with my good Shepard because my background with that particular character is that while he is a good guy and he was like a war hero or a survivor, I can't remember exactly.
He came from Earth and was like...
Yeah, he was Earthborn, and I think he was a sole survivor, I think. And he had the whole thing with the Batarians and all that, but he is a good Shepard, yes, of course, but... There's not a single moment where I'm like, all right, should I be a dick in this situation? And 9 times out of 10, like, if it's something where, you know, I just want to look like a badass, I'm gonna go renegade on somebody.
Yeah.
But most of the time, like, if I'm dealing with my teammates or just, you know, like, other good people, I will be a paragon. So,
yeah, like...
I have that, but then... Of course, obviously, I also have the Renegade too, and that's me going against my better judgment, like as a normal human being with morals.
Yeah.
So I'm deliberately playing as a Renegade on purpose just to see counter effect to, you know, like, you know, what is the opposite of Paragon, basically?
Okay.
Like,
but
what,
yeah, but what I was going with was like, what is the main playthrough? Like, what
okay,
choices
did
you
make?
That's what I meant.
This is me going on my tangent because you two have been talking most of this time.
Okay, so, fine.
I'm more story oriented, anyways. Like, I am eager to see how this is all going to play out. And as far as like the decisions I made with my main Shepard, which is the Paragon, I remember letting the council die because I thought. Like, my mindset was as well, you've been against me this entire time as far as my decision-making and me trying to cooperate, and you guys were very anti or opposite just because you thought, oh, I'm a human and I'm the first human Spectre.
Yep.
You're not necessarily on my side just yet. And, you know, you guys are being, you know, going by the book. You're not thinking outside the box, so I'm going to let you guys die. And I remember I put Anderson in charge and, well... In Mass Effect 2, he's like, oh, I hate this job, and blah, 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 blah. And as far as some of the other decisions I made that I'm curious to see the outcome, as far as the DLC arrival, I think either way, you end up letting, like, an entire Batarian colony.
You let like 300,000 people die.
It's 300,000 Batarians in a whole system dying. And by the way, whether or not you play that DLC, that is canon. That
I do remember them saying that, because I was wondering how they were going to explain that at the beginning of Mass Effect 3 for the people who didn't play Arrival or necessarily knew about it. So I'm interested to see how that's going to work out. But anyways, I'm trying to remember the other decisions that I remember. They trickled over into Mass Effect 2, and I remember most of them ended up being really positive, and that's because I was a Paragon.
Do you want me to start with mine, and you can remember some of the decisions that you made as I go through them? All right, so basically my character is a human soul survivor, and he, in Mass Effect 1, was very, very Paragon and not very Renegade, and then as time goes on, he's a little more Renegade. Every single time he starts to
taking a sip of that Paragate.
He's starting to, like, just everything is weighing down on him. And he's becoming more of a badass and more of a hard ass. And he's still Paragon.
Yeah.
By all means, he's still the good guy who's
starting to go more toward a realist.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, because the Renegades.
Renegades
are
completely cynical.
They're all about getting the job done, no matter the cost.
Yeah.
Well, the Paragon is more about trying to save as many people as possible, even if, you know, completing the main objective is harder to do. So basically, that's basically how he works. Now, as far as decisions made in the first game, the Council survived. The reason being that, they were, you know, they're being hard asses.
Ah, yes, Reapers, the immortal race of sentient starships, allegedly waiting in dark space.
You can't blame them for not, you know, really
being
believing
cynical.
In, you know, this whole Reaper threat. Because when you think of, you have to see it from their point of view. It's like,
it sounds absurd.
There is no real proof that the Reapers really exist. On top of that, it sounds ridiculous that there's this fucking whole army of sentient machines that are going to
kill every organic every 50,000 years.
It doesn't sound like it makes a lot of sense. So I don't blame them. And on top of that, even if there was proof and they were still, you know, kind of being chachas about everything, the fact is the galaxy is better off with them alive. The galaxy is actually happier with them alive. And that's going to be... Yeah, the morale matters. So I let them live. The Rachni Queen, I also let her live because I figure that she will be an asset. When you were speaking to her, she talked about how back when the Rachni Wars were going down, there was a sour yellow note in the sound, and basically that was alluding to indoctrination.
Yeah,
that
like,
Reapers are what caused the Rachni to fight
back. Yeah, that's what they said in Mass Effect 2, if you let her live. If you let her die, you didn't get that information.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, I do remember on my Good Shepherd on the first playthrough on the first game, I did let her live. I do remember that now.
Basically, Eric, just comment on these decisions as I go through on what you did. So there was that. That was basically Novaria. On Pharos...
Pharos doesn't matter. Skip. Next.
No, Pharos does matter. They like to act like Pharos didn't matter, and in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't truly affect much. But the fact
it helps
is,
in Mass Effect 2,
Pharos is where Shepard learned the cipher. So Shepard now can understand Prothean and understand the Prothean mindset and what makes a Prothean what they are. You know, the language, the lifestyle, everything. The little decision there was whether or not you let Shiala live, which I did let her live.
Even though you didn't get any Paragon points for that because the game didn't let you.
Whatever. I don't even recall or not. But
they let you get renegade points if you execute her, like 25 renegade points, something ridiculous. But like no paragon points if you let her live.
But I let her live, and I was glad to see her in Mass Effect 2, and she'll probably be in Mass Effect 3. That's just a guess.
Yeah. Why? No, I was like, why is she green? Oh.
And then she tells you why she's green.
Yeah.
There was that. Then on Vermeier, which involved, and by the way, these are kind of big Mass Effect 1 spoilers, but then again, the game's been out since 2007.
Yeah, they're spoilers, but this is also
say,
a big...
If you're listening to this, you had to have played it
you
by
had
now.
To play the
except
game.
Except for Kayla. Kayla, etc. is still playing through Mass Effect 1.
Okay, well, we're just going to have to warn her, don't listen to this podcast.
But anyway...
Basically, on Vermeier, you had several, you know, choices...
Sacrifice.
Right. Yeah. Do you sacrifice Caden Alenko or do you sacrifice Ashley Williams? I sacrificed Caden Alenko every single time because...
Because you were fucking Ashley, okay.
Ashley Williams was, first of all, my character's romance option every single time in Mass Effect 1.
Okay.
And on top of that, I just found her more interesting.
Okay.
Because Caden was a good guy, but he didn't really have a lot going on that I could tell.
Yeah.
While Ashley, you know, she had her poetry, she had her family, she had her belief in God and going on. She also had her distrust of alien races because of her upbringing, and I thought that was very interesting.
Yeah, for some people, it might have come off as xenophobic. I understand where some fans can come from. Because whenever you say something, like, slightly racist, it's like, oh my god, xenophobes, ah!
And her writer, person who wrote Ashley Williams in the first game, which was Chris L2L, I think, he confirmed that she's not actually a racist. Like, she doesn't hate alien races. He knew people were going to take it the wrong way and react that way, which is why he wrote her that way. But she's not actually a racist, because you're either a racist or you're not.
Yeah.
And she's not. She just does not trust the alien races. Like, and she actually has good reasons for it. I mean, when she brings it up, but you can, like, ease her opinion and be like, well, you know, it's not.
Yeah, we kind of need the other people or the other racists out there.
And I was going to say, the human races aren't necessarily not racist, just the human race, in the whole Mass Effect story arc, they're not very well appreciated across the galaxy. Obviously, the humans, they're gonna pretty much feel the same way towards other species just because.
Yeah, and, like, I know you saved Ashley and stuff. In the way I'm playing my main commander, Shepard, he was starting to get along with Ashley, you know, starting to go down the romance path, but she was left with the bomb, and Caden was with the Salarians. And Mike Shepard always puts the mission before romance. So Ashley had to be left behind for the bomb to go off while I saved Caden and all the Salarians and get as many people out of there as I could. That's basically why Ashley died, even though they were, like, getting really close. You know, that sort of thing.
Did you do that deliberately? Like, well, were you avoiding the romance achievement, or what? You're just doing it for
this is basic. I'm doing it for the story because, like, I want to play. I want to play, like, one of the two main Shepherds I'm playing. This is the main one. I'm going to play him kind of like a tragic Shepherd. Like, every person he gets close to dies.
Oh God, he's gonna have PTSD.
Like, I'm gonna have a few losses. Like, for example, Thane. He's a good friend of Shepherd. He's going to die before the mission starts. Like, on the ship. He's gonna get impaled.
Okay.
Oh, so you're doing that on purpose, wow.
Well, kind of. Because, I mean, I think it's the beauty of Mass Effect is that you can create the story, or push the story in a certain direction. I want to make the story a little bit more on the darker side of things. Things are weighing down on Shepard. Shepard, in Mass Effect 1, for me, was always a Renegon. I mean, Paragade, my bad. Well, a Paragade. He was mostly Paragon. He was mostly Paragon, but he did Renegade things. As the game progressed, he started getting more and more aggressive. In Mass Effect 2, he's going to be pretty much still mostly Paragon, but he's going to be an angry Shepard. You know, in Mass Effect 3, things finally might collapse, and I might go full Renegade, I don't know. Things are slowly weighing down on Shepard as time goes on, because every person he gets close to as a friend or even a lover, I'll let him have Miranda because it's Yvonne Strahovski, come on. But anyway.
I see what you did there.
Yeah, the best part is that there's a video of her and Chuck doing a belly dance.
Oh yeah, I've seen that.
One of the comments on that video was like, how come Miranda never did that for me? And I was fucking rolling.
Yeah, but, like, most of the friends Shepard is going to make are probably going to die. I mean, I'm probably going to kill off Tally in Mass Effect 2.
You son of a bitch!
I know, BSNers, come at me, bros.
You but son, like, of a bitch.
Yeah, but
you,
like,
know who you're talking to.
I know.
Yeah, you know who you're talking to.
I know you love Tally, but, like, I feel you know what I mean, as a character.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, like, I feel like the sacrifice kind of needs to be made, in this Shepard's kind of tragic story. He's going to lose all his friends, people who have been with him in the beginning. Like, he lost Ashley, he's going to lose Tally, he's going to lose Thane, who basically redeemed himself, was lost before he could do anything, really, with the Collectors. So, basically, his son's going to be orphaned.
You fucking
As far as my other decisions, sacrifice and what have you, I obviously, I saved Ashley because I was romancing her in the first game. And I let Caden go mostly because I didn't like Caden at all. I really did not like Caden. I thought he was boring. I thought he was a bit of a dumbass. Like, he was really strategically that important as a teammate on the missions.
Yeah.
That decision for me was pretty easy. Obviously, I'm going to try and continue that relationship with Ashley in the third game. As far as, like, the suicide mission in Mass Effect 2, I'm a bit of a completionist and an achievement whore, so I kept everybody alive. I didn't cheat, obviously, on Ashley with any of the other characters. I kept it strictly professional. I did all the loyalty missions, so everybody was able to stay alive, because I know if you don't do the loyalty missions and get your teammates on your good side, that there is a greater chance of them dying in the suicide mission.
Oh, no, I'm doing all the suicide missions. I'm purposely doing bad decisions in the final mission, though.
Right.
Anyway.
I did that as far as any of the other decisions. I'm a little bit hazy. It's been a while since I played Mass Effect 2. I'm still like a mega fan. It's just, I've been out of the loop for a while, so
I hear you. But anyway,
basically, yeah. With the suicide mission and all that, I was making my carryover playthrough, and I still haven't finished it. But I got everybody loyal except for Zaid, which is not really going to matter, to be honest with you. I'm going to keep everybody alive, and I should still be able to keep everyone alive even with him not being loyal.
Right. Don't make him do anything important, and he'll probably stay alive.
He's gonna show up in the next game, I'm sure of it, because they said everybody would anyway. Everybody
is.
Does,
yeah.
Everyone from even Kasumi and Zaid being DLC characters and all, they'll still show up. But I'm keeping everyone alive.
Are they gonna be teammates though? That's like the burning question for me.
No, I already know who the squad mates are, so.
Okay.
I can tell you, but I won't.
Yeah. They might be temporary squad mates, but they're not going to be permanent.
Basically, this is the thing. There's going to be a few temporary squad mates that you'll have on certain missions and stuff like that.
Okay.
The main squad mate list has certain people. I can reveal a few because they've already been announced, like James Vega is a new guy.
James, Gareth,
and
Allie.
James Vega is voiced by Freddie Prinze Jr., and he's basically supposed to represent the new player into Mass Effect 3. The guy who didn't play Mass 1 and Mass 2.
Yeah.
So,
like,
basically, James, he doesn't really know much about what's going on. He's going through PTSD. He's freaking out because of this crazy fucking Reaper invasion. And I think it's going to be pretty interesting with him.
Yeah.
Then, of course, Ashley or Caden, whoever survived Vermeer, they'll be back as a full squad member. Garrus and Tali are coming back. Liara's coming back. There's a few squad mates we are not aware of yet. There will be one coming through a DLC, which, if you bought the Collector's Edition, you are getting for free. If
yes,
not, you'll be,
nice.
You'll be
yeah,
able to buy it the first day. The DLC is called From Ashes.
Yeah.
So take that for what
it is.
You will.
Yeah.
It's called From Ashes. The name is
it's
very...
It's going to be Ashley's sister. Dun, dun, dun!
No.
I'm kidding.
The DLC is called From Ashes, and the actual name of the DLC, From Ashes, is very, very relevant to what the character is. I do know who the character is. I won't tell you because it's a major spoiler.
For Mass Effect 3, yeah.
So the squadmate list, it's smaller than Mass Effect 2 because, I'm going to be honest, Mass Effect 2's was way too big. We had too many people and we didn't have enough interaction with them. For example, with Garrus, I swear to God, the entire game was...
Do you want to do more calibrations?
Fucking calibrations, dude.
If you're playing female Shepard, he's like calibrating that ass, but I mean, come
I was
on.
Like, one day I got so mad at Garrus saying that, I was like, dude, I'm gonna take a stick and calibrate your ass. I was so fucking mad. I was like, God, talk to me, Garrus. Talk to me. What happened to your father? Why do you hate C-Sec? Why won't you
But if you're playing female Shepard, he will calibrate that ass for you.
I like how if you romance him with female Shepard, he comes into the fucking captain's quarters playing the music from The Flux.
I know,
that
right?
Shit is so fucking
And brings in wine, but like, what I'm thinking is, wait, they both have different DNA types. How are they going to drink out of the same wine bottle?
I was like, that's not... That he's Dextro, and I forgot what the hell we're
amino. We're amino.
Yeah, so it was like, there's no way that, it didn't make sense. It was like, okay, whatever, I'll look it over. And right. I like how Morden comments on whoever you're romancing on.
Yeah,
and if you're not romancing anybody, he thinks that you're trying to romance him.
Yeah, he's like, so, yeah, I'm not interested, Shepard, sorry.
He's like, you keep coming down here talking to me, I just want to know, I'm not interested. It's like, what? What the hell are you talking about?
Well, actually, some people, I noticed, I've been looking on Tumblr recently, and also, like, occasionally the BSN, people are like, I wish I could romance him, I loved him.
Technically, Morden's not old as shit, but
he's old as shit for a Solarian.
For a fucking Solarian, he's about to die. He's fucking old as crap. So.
Someone else might have gotten it wrong.
Like, what the fuck?
I am the very model of a scientist Solarian. And he sings too, ladies.
I like how at the end of it, when he's done singing, there's like that long pause.
And then he coughs.
It takes him forever to get back into his normal position, and then he coughs. And then the conversation just continues like normal.
Actually, it was more like, I have to go. I have to go. I have to go. I have to go. I should be going.
Speaking of which, that's like Shepard's fucking signature.
It's his catchphrase. I have to go.
It's not even I should go. It's one word at this point.
I should go.
It's I-S-H-U-G-O.
I should go.
I should go.
I should go.
I should go.
Yeah. It would be so funny if, like, in Mass Effect 3, if the Council comes up again. This is all speculation. This is all speculation. If the Reapers are attacking the Destiny Ascension again, like, if you choose to be a renegade this time, it's like, I should go. And then hang up on them.
Be a dick and let the Council die at that point before he says, I should go. He should be like,
oh, yes, Reapers, the immortal race of sentient starships allegedly waiting in dark space. I dismiss that claim. So, I should go. Yeah, exactly.
The fucking Turian council member's like, Shepard!
Shepard!
Zaid before he dies, if you do that to him.
And Eric, I don't know if you knew this, but if you recruit Zaid after the final mission,
it's not even if you recruit him after the suicide missions. All you have to do for him to die is do his loyalty mission after.
Yeah, and then
let him burn.
Stay trapped.
Dude, I bet that even if you do that, watch him like come back.
No, he's probably going to come back with a vengeance, just like he did.
For Vito.
Yeah, he'll be like, I survived getting incinerated.
And Shepard's going to be like, what the fuck?
You survived a gunshot to the head and being incinerated? That's right. I am an angry Brit.
And then right before he kills Shepard, you're saved by Conrad Werner.
Conrad Werner. I learned how to shove a gun in people's faces by Commander Shepard. Twice!
By the way, let's talk about Conrad Werner for a moment. In Mass Effect 1, he says that, he's talking about you, how cool you are, whatever. He says he wants a picture to take for his wife back on Earth and all that other stuff. Question, do you really believe he has a wife?
Yes, but like, after, in Mass Effect 2, it's like, yeah, my wife paid for me to get this armor and be able to travel the galaxy. I think his wife was paying to get rid of him.
Yeah, and like, as he says that, Matriarch Athena behind him in the bar, like, she fucking facepalms, because she's like, really? He has no idea.
This woman is probably sleeping with Commander Shepard.
Here's another thing. What would you say are the odds that Conrad Werner has a chapel, like little
a shrine
somewhere?
A shrine?
Yeah, like a shrine.
A person shrine.
Fucking Commander Shepard somewhere with pictures and shit. Like, do you think he's that kind of creeper?
Yeah, I'm sure. There's like a news vid of him constantly playing with footage from Eden Prime. And then there's another one where he's playing footage of a reenactment of Vermeier. I can imagine that somewhere.
Jesus Christ. The thought of that in my head scares the shit out of me.
But it's probably true.
Oh, and on to like other like minor characters that are like memorable, at least to me. In Mass Effect 1, there was the refund guy.
The refund guy, yeah. And then in Mass Effect 2, I've been waiting 2 years to get this refund. What do you mean I'm in the wrong place?
This is the thing. It really disappointed me because we know about, like, the Tali romance. Like, I was, like, one of the first guys that was pushing for that. And I kind of got the ball rolling on that. I was also pushing for the refund guy to come back. I was one of the first people for that, too. Although I'm not going to take credit for that at all because fucking shit ton of people wanted him back. They brought him back in Mass Effect 2, which was cool, but what I really didn't like was that they had a different voice actor play the character.
I didn't know this.
I remembered his voice from Mass Effect 1, so I was like, oh, man, it just sounds really weird. And I was like, if they bring him back for Mass Effect 3, though, what do you think they should do with him?
He should finally get his refund, and it ends up being enough credits to save a portion of the galaxy. So Shepard takes his credits to fund the war effort.
Hilarious.
Yeah, it's like, I just bought a fucking toaster. What are you talking about? Oh, this is about 50 million credits. This could help against the Reapers.
Yeah, he finally gets his refund. And then you can finally talk to him and be like, hey, so, you know, I'm trying to defend, you know, the galaxy against...
You shove a gun in his face. Or, no, even better. Conrad Werner comes, shoves a gun in his face, and says, give Shepard the credits.
I think I'd really prefer, like, just being nice to him. But, like, you know, I need all the money I can get to defend against the Reapers and blah, 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 blah. And the guy just looks at his money or his credits that he just got. And he's like, I waited so long for this, but he knows that it's going to help the galaxy in the end of the day. Like, it'll buy, like, a fucking round or something.
it'll buy a thermal clip.
It'll buy a thermal clip, yeah. And he's going to be like, yeah, okay.
For no, not even for Shepard. It's for normal infantry who are less accurate than Shepard.
I also want to go back to Mass Effect 1, if you guys can recall some characters that weren't super vital to the story. What characters from Mass Effect 1 would you say you really want to come back?
Dr. Chloe Michelle.
Yes, I was just about to say that. One of my favorite characters was Dr. Chloe Michelle. On the wards, she was super fucking cool, and I really, really liked her.
That accent, like, though, her accent, what the fuck?
I like her accent.
It was so weird. It was like Russian / African.
Well, that's the thing. A lot of the characters in Mass Effect are actually multicultural. So
I know, but it was like,
so it made sense.
What?
But yeah. So she sent you an email in Mass Effect 2, asking you about Garrus and you and how the two of you were doing and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you guys would like the confirmation or not, but I'm going to tell you anyway, she will be returning in Mass Effect 3.
Okay.
Cool. And little side note, she might have a bigger role than you might normally imagine. Oh. Although that choice is up to you.
I'm wondering if the Citadel is going to be kind of the focal point of the third one. Like, it was in the first game, obviously.
I was pissed what they did to the Citadel.
Second one, yeah.
The Citadel in Mass Effect 2 was just kind of like, it's like,
I mean, it looked pretty. The wards looked great.
It wasn't even the ward. It was a fucking building in the ward.
It was a portion of the wards, which, you know, it looked nice. The club there was okay. Overall, it was kind of, you know, disappointing. I mean, yeah, sure, you got to punch Khaleesa Bentseen and Al-Jelani, I think her name is. The reporter again.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got a soccer in the face if you were
a
renegade.
Well, I'm sure she'll be in the third one, too.
She'll be in the third one. She was, even though I hate her, I want to see her again, which I know she's going to be in the third one because, you know, she's kind of like that persistent, really annoying reporter that keeps going after you. Sorry for my friends who are listening to this who happen to be going into the news, but...
Awful, or raffle in this case.
raffle. But anyway, I don't know, she's just like that constant annoying journalistic reporter who, like, wants to do a smear job on somebody who looks good for humanity.
I can't wait to punch her again. And the best part is, if you bought the Lair of the Shadow Broker DLC, when you finally, like, get towards the end of it and you finish it, if you go to the back of Shadow Broker's ship, you can actually watch videos of certain characters in the Mass Effect universe doing certain things.
Yeah, I remember that.
Shadow Broker has cameras set up, and there's two videos of Khaleesa Bentseen and Al-Jelani. One is where she's interviewing a Volus, and the Volus, like, fucking kicks her in the shin, and she falls to the ground, which is fucking hilarious. The best one was that she was, like, interviewing a Krogan, and the Krogan got pissed off, punches her in the face, or he headbutted her or something. No, you know, he punched her in the face, and she goes flying. It is so fucking hilarious. The only funnier thing, I think, out of those videos was
Ugina getting
Solarian on Tuchanka. And the Krogans are, like, angry at him or something, probably because he's just a Solarian. And they throw him into the Varan pit, and then the Varans start eating him alive, and he's, like, jumping up and down while blood's flowing everywhere.
Aww.
And you can tell he's screaming and shit. And it's the fucking most hilarious thing. I know it sounds gruesome, but it was funny. I don't give a fuck.
Zero fucks are given this day. Yeah, but guys, we actually got to start wrapping up. We've been going for a while now. Is there anything you guys want to talk about that we haven't really covered?
There is something I would like to say. A friend of mine actually coincidentally, it was the same friend of mine who got me into Mass Effect. He made a comment the other day, because I told him I was going to be doing this podcast, and he was hoping maybe, well, we were all obviously hoping that, like, BioWare-type people are listening. Yeah. He made the comment, and I did not experience it yet, because I only dived into the demo for a couple hours, obviously, but you two seem to know a little bit more about the Krogans and the multiplayer. He said that it was really hard to see over the Krogan's shoulders in multiplayer. Yeah,
I don't play Krogan, I can't comment.
Oh.
Okay.
I play a lot of Krogan, so, like, I didn't have a problem at all.
Okay, yeah, he made the comment that he said it was a little bit more difficult to see, because obviously the Krogans, they're one of the bigger races.
They have a fucking hump the size of a human torso.
This is what I'm going to suggest to your friend. This podcast is not the best place to try to get BioWare to listen to any criticisms or, you know, get any ideas. And on top of that, Mass Effect 3 has already been confirmed as going gold, so there won't be any changes to it anytime soon. But okay. If he does feel like there's an issue and it's still in the main game, what he should do is visit the BioWare social network. You can contact me on there. Again, I'm LP Prince.
Yeah, the BioWare social network is social.bioware.com.
And he can contact me, or he can contact the actual developers themselves, and I'll try to help. You know, me being a power user, I can, you know, tell people specifically.
Yeah,
I know he
will more than likely hear this podcast, and I mean, if it's that big a deal. I'm sure he'll say something.
And I'm not just saying, you know, tell me because, oh, I have power. I don't have power. It's just that I have a voice and I can tell people specifically what the issue is. But if he really feels that there's a problem, what he should do is go on the forums, make a thread in the appropriate section, and then say, okay, well, there's this issue I'm having, blah, 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 blah. I'll go in there and I'll support him on it.
Yeah.
We can get stuff happening that way.
All you need to participate, for any listeners out there who want to also do something like this, or just talk about Mass Effect in general, or any BioWare game, go to social.bioware.com. All you need is your EA Origin account, or EA account, or whatever. And that's all you really need to participate
in
social.
It's an email
social.
And a password. And if you link it to your,
EA
say,
account.
Your gamer tag or anything of that nature, whether you're playing on PS3, PC, Xbox 360, you'll be able to basically reward yourself. If you have any items to redeem, you can redeem it, you can check it out on the forums, and you'll know what you have unlocked. Like, I have a billion things unlocked between BioWare games. And it's a fun experience. I really love the BioWare social network. I've been a member of the BioWare forums before they were called the BioWare social network. I've been on there for fucking years now.
Yeah.
And it's been a very good time, very good place, lots of good people. Yeah, you got your bad apples, but they exist everywhere, so don't worry about it.
Yeah, just...
Yeah, it's always going to be haters. Anywhere. Everywhere.
Haters going to hate.
Yeah.
And potatoes going to potate.
That was fucking stupid.
What can I say? I am the king of bad puns and bad pickup lines.
Fuck you for making me hungry now, because now I got to go fucking bug my stepdad about making a bison burger for me later. I'm trying to gain weight, damn it. I'm lean, and I'm mean, and I'm a fighting machine. I'm a royal fighting machine.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyway, ladies and gents, thank you, V-users, BSNers. Thank you for joining us on this episode of V-Universe, the official VU community podcast. If you have anything to say, go ahead and leave a comment at vuniverse.podomatic.com or on my VU page, vu.com/aguynamedraf, and send me a message with the hashtag VUpodcast. Anyway, I'm a guy named Raf. I like your faces. I like your ears. Thank you for listening, and good night, or good morning, or whatever the hell time it is over there.
Well, this podcast is all about Mass Effect 3, and it has nothing to do with me dipping my balls into a glass of milk, but I just brought that up, and you heard it, because you're listening to this right now.
And if you are a V user, you probably have seen his face, and now you are imagining it, too. So
imagining my balls in a glass of milk.
Yes.
And then me with a smile on my face saying, yep, I'm milking it for all it's worth. Oh! Oh my God.
On that note,
I see what you did there.
we all see what you did there.